Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Good morning and welcome again to another edition of Church on the Couch. This is week 3 in our message series, Home Improvement. And if you haven't been with us for either of the previous 2 weeks, our thought was, since we're spending so much time in our homes, it might be cool to kind of walk through a house and learn a little something from each room so that as you spend time in the rooms of your home, you might be reminded of some life lessons. In week 1, we visited the basement. The basement is where we keep all the random stuff we don't really want to talk about. And even if you don't have a basement, you probably have an attic or a junk drawer or someplace where you've got some stuff like that seemed like a great idea at the time, and now you have no idea why you still own it. We have secrets that are just like that. Each of us have some things in our life that, you know, it seemed like a good idea at the time, and actually it turned out to be something we deeply regret. In week 1, we talked about how God can take those things and bring to them redemptive perspective. He can take those things and make them useful again and use them for his glory. So that was week 1. And then last week, we visited the living room, arguably the most oddly named room in the house. And we talked a little bit about our entertainment options. And I loved a couple of you guys actually called yourself out. I shared last week in the message that there are times when I'm watching TV or watching a movie, if I'm not completely captivated by what's happening, I will grab my phone and have two screens up. And I sometimes find myself watching TV and scrolling through my email or scrolling through Instagram or something like that. And now I'm not present with either source. I'm not watching the television program or the movie that I was supposed to be watching. I'm also not fully present with whatever's going on my phone. I'm just divided. And when I get up from doing that, I don't feel refreshed or rejuvenated or even entertained. I just feel like life has been sucked out of me in the very moment when I was hoping to have something poured into me. And a bunch of you actually reached out to me and told me that while I was preaching, you had a phone in your hand and you were multitasking. And I love that you were honest enough to say that. So I'm just going to call that out for the moment right now. If you've got a phone in your hand, put it down and let's be fully present with each other for a little while. Today we're diving into another room in our house. We're jumping into the bathroom. Now don't be nervous. Don't worry. There's no potty humor coming. I am far too dignified a pastor to do such things. I can't even say that with a straight face. But no dookie jokes are coming. Don't worry. We're going to be talking today about our habits because the bathroom is a great place to observe our habits. A habit is something you do on repeat. It's something you do with great repetition. So some habits that you perform every day, you don't have to give any thought to because they're instinctual, right? Blinking is a habit, something you do all the time, but you don't think about it. It's automatic. Breathing, things like that, you know, these biochemical things, these are habits, but you don't have to think about them. But some of the other habits that you have in your life were taught to you, things like brushing your teeth or combing your hair or bathing, taking a shower, putting on deodorant. These habits were taught to you. Somebody taught you to do those things. If you have little ones, you're teaching them. It's bedtime. There's a routine. You wash your face. You brush your teeth. You do your thing. You develop these habits. And when you're little, you perform these habits because you're told to. When you're little, you do these things because someone's teaching you to. Someone's making you. But as you grow older and as you get more mature, these things actually become important to you. You start wanting to do those things either because you want the benefit of having done them or you want to avoid the negative consequence of not having done them. So at some point you quit brushing your teeth because your mom made you and you start brushing your teeth because you don't want to have bad breath and you don't want to end up in the dentist's office. So you want the benefits and you want to avoid the negative consequences of not doing it. Either way, you took ownership and it became important to you. Let's talk for a minute about your spiritual habits. Are there any? Are there any spiritual habits in place for you guys? Now, what do I mean by spiritual habits? Well, let's start with prayer, right? Is there a time during the day or during the evening when you set a few minutes aside to pray? Is there a point at any time during your day when you read a little bit of scripture? Doesn't have to be multiple chapters, could just be a few verses. I mean, I think a few verses that you apply is sometimes better than reading in bulk. Is there a time a day when you maybe set some time aside to worship? These are examples, they're not by no means exclusive, but these are examples of spiritual habits. Now, some of you are looking back at me and you're thinking to yourself, nope, no, I don't have any spiritual habits because nobody ever taught me. For some of you, no one ever taught you spiritual habits. It just wasn't a part. You know, somebody taught you to pray a prayer when you were little, but it never became important to you. You never took ownership of it and never wanted to make it something you owned. Now, spiritual habits are like any other habit. You've probably observed in your life, particularly maybe in the last 6 weeks, that good habits are very difficult to form and bad habits are very easy to form. So right now, we are all swimming upstream against bad habits. Unless you live with remarkable discipline, our schedules are all whacked out a little bit right now, right? You don't have to get up maybe as early as you once did because you don't have a commute because you're working from home. So it's tempting to stay up later. So you stay up later and you get up later and your sleep schedule gets a little bit off. And then, you know, if you're like me, sometimes like your eating schedule gets off, you know? So once in a while, I find myself like I'll just skip a meal and not eat a meal because I'm not hungry at that particular time. And then I'll like double up and triple up on snacks later because I didn't eat the meal. Like none of these habits are good. I actually have a sticky note. This is true. I have a sticky note on my cupboard that says, "You were just here. Go away." I literally wrote that in Sharpie and put that on my cupboard because I'm like a zombie. I keep walking over to the cupboard and looking in there, and I was just there 5 minutes ago, and nothing new has appeared in there since my last visit, but I keep going back. Like, these are bad habits. So bad habits are easy to form. Good habits are difficult to form, but the good news is it's never too late. It's never too late for you to develop spiritual habits. God wants to be in your life and he wants to be and remain connected to you, but it's going to take a little bit of training. Listen to this from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. That is a daily thing. That's something that we hear daily. So in the Lord's Prayer, when it says, give us this day our daily bread, that's not just about food. That's about us on a daily basis coming and connecting with our Father. And our hope as a church is to help you connect with God on your own. That's actually one of the things that makes our church unique. I try not to compare our church to other churches favorably or unfavorably. It just doesn't feel like it's that great of a move. But I have been a part of many churches where there were ministries every single night of the week. And some of you have come from churches like that, where there's something going on at church every single night, and it is totally normal for a family to be at church 3 or 4 nights a week. My take on that is, truthfully, that's just not that healthy. Every single one of those ministries is competing for attention. Every single one of those ministries is competing for resources. They're all trying to gather people. And what happens is, over time, is people subconsciously start to understand the church is where I go to connect with God. The church is my source. And it's not. The church is not your source. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is your source of connectivity to God. We want you connecting with God on your own. So that's why we don't have, here's what we do. We have services that are worth checking out, we hope. We have services that are worth checking out. We have life stage ministries for young people through young adults, and we have community groups. That's what we do. So once in a while, somebody will ask, well, how come we don't have this ministry, and how come we don't have that ministry, and how come we don't have this, 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 and the other ministry? Because our goal is to make you connecting with God on your own. We don't want you to feel like you need to be at church every single night of the week. We want you connecting with God on your own, in your homes, wherever you may be. And that may take a little bit of training. It may take a little bit of discipline. So spiritual health is like physical health. There's really no shortcuts. You're going to have to put in the time. Now, by this, I want to clarify something. There's one part of this, I mean, and it's the major part, which requires no work on our part at all. When it comes to receiving God's free gift of salvation, there's really no work involved. All we need to do is believe. By God's grace, Jesus did all of the heavy lifting on the cross. So there is nothing involved. There's no earning our salvation. There's no working hard enough so that God approves of us. Because of Jesus' work, God approves of us now. That's the good news. Having come into that and having understood that, if we want to connect with God on a daily basis and not just say, okay, thanks for the forgiveness, later, if we want to connect with God and dive into the so much more that there is for us, means we're going to have to train ourselves. We're going to have to put the time in each day and connect. It turns out most of what we needed to know about our spiritual health, we actually learned from like our fifth grade gym teacher, which means eat a healthy diet, get plenty of rest, and get some exercise. That's true spiritually as well. All those things are in place for us and need to be in place. There are no shortcuts. This is, you know, I'm gonna date myself here a little bit. I don't watch very many TV shows from major networks anymore. There's nothing I'm watching right now on ABC, NBC, or CBS. And I'm sure they have fine stuff on there, but I tend to watch my stuff on right now on Netflix or on Amazon Prime or things like that. As a result, I don't see a ton of commercials anymore. And when I did watch with commercials, I had a DVR so I could fast forward. But maybe some of you remember the days before the ability to fast forward through commercials, and maybe some of you, if you're old enough, can remember like the home exercise craze. Now there are right now plenty of things you can get, you know, for your home. Maybe you're cool enough and savvy enough to have a Peloton bike. Maybe you've got one of those mirrors with a coach in it. There's all kinds of high tech, really cool stuff. But back in the day, things were pretty low tech, but there was a ton of product for sale that basically just advertised health shortcuts. Things that focused on particular parts of the body, usually the gut, right? So it was honestly laughable. That you'd see advertisement after advertisement for the ab rocker and the ab lounger and the ab conductor, and there was one that actually attached electrodes to your stomach, and it would like make your muscles fire, so it would actually do the advertisement was that it would do the workout for you. And the guy in the commercial was always ripped. Like he had an 8-pack and he like 0% body fat, and he looked incredible using whatever doofy little device it was that they would ship you for $19.95. It was always $19.95. And the idea was just do this for 10 minutes a day, just do this for 5 minutes a day, and you'll have, you know, an incredible set of abs. And you know, and I know that was never the case. That was never gonna be the case. There are no shortcuts when it comes to maturing spiritually. We're gonna have to put in the time. And I'm gonna get back up in your face here a little bit. I called something out last week that I wanna repeat because I think it's important. If you're new, this isn't for you. Okay, if you're just dialing in for the first time, this isn't for you. But if you're a believer, right, you're a Christian, and you would self-identify as a Christ follower, If you can put together a 3 or 4 hour binge watching session with no trouble at all, but you can't find 5 or 10 minutes to connect with God on a daily basis, I'm gonna call that a problem. And what that means is, either A, no one ever taught you to do it, or B, it just never became important to you. My hope is that it becomes important to you. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." Take up your cross daily. This is a daily thing. Connecting with God. You have a nature that just wants to steer off onto its own and do its own thing. Connecting with God is going to take some discipline. But like any habit, once formed, it's easy to stay in your lane. The key is deciding whether or not it's important to you. There was a place in the scriptures where it became important to the apostles. I mentioned earlier the Lord's Prayer. There's a place in the scripture where the apostles say to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's odd. That's a strange thing. First of all, it's strange because the apostles were grown men at that point. That's a question that a child would ask, "Teach me to pray." It was also odd because the apostles, these guys were Jewish. They had grown up in temple. They knew how to pray. But they were observing in Jesus a different kind of connection. It was as if they were saying, "Okay, teach us to pray." You can imagine Jesus going, "What do you mean, fellas? You guys know how to pray." In my mind, Peter or John or Andrew looks back at him and goes, "Yeah, no, not that. Yeah, we know those prayers. We can memorize prayers. When you talk to God, it's different. When you connect with God, it's different. We want to connect with God the way you connect with God." It became important to them. Their connection with God became important. I don't brush my teeth anymore because my mom makes me. I don't shower and put on deodorant and clothe myself the way I do or do those. I don't do any of my bathroom habits because someone's making me. I do these things because they're important to me. It's my hope for you, my prayer for you, that these spiritual habits will become important to you. Maybe even someday that they'll become like breathing or blinking. That your connection to God will be something constant. And that particularly in this crazy season we're in, more than ever, you won't hang up the phone when you're done praying. That you'll stay connected, stay plugged in, and make a habit out of worshiping God, praying, and reading a little bit of scripture each day. These are habits that will stand by you your whole life, and you will never regret the day you started. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be jumping into a new room next Sunday. Hope you can join us for another edition of Church on the Couch. For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and grant you his peace.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.